Well, good morning, everybody. This is Tobias Rex, and this is the Sharks, Dinosaurs, and Mythical Creatures podcast coming at you right now. This morning's episode is going to be on another Monarch Titan. The last Monarch Titan. Well, I mean, the last of the main ones. And normally when I do a Monarch Titan, I usually tell about what it is, what it does, stuff like that, and then I get into the Monarch profile. But this time, I'm going to start with the Monarch profile. Here we go. From the Hydra to the Rainbow Serpent, myth was the compass that led us to the resting place of the three-headed Titan, a name unspoken through millennia of whispered nightmares, a living extinction event named the One Who Is Many. We call it Monster Zero. And at a Monarch containment facility deep in the frozen tundras of Antarctica, a three-headed winged serpent of ancient yet unknown origin lies frozen within a glacial tomb of ice. This is without question the largest superspecies ever discovered, easily dwarfing Godzilla at a height of over 500 feet tall. Cranial scans reveal a divergent frontal lobe density in the brains of the three heads, denoting that each head has different levels of cognitive functions and even independent thought. Monster Zero's dermal layer is gilded with trace amounts of gold, and metallurgical studies theorize the scales act as a conductor capable of carrying bioelectrical currents throughout the creature's body. And injuries have been discovered on several locations on the beast's body, reminiscent of claw and scorch marks. And muscle tendons on the wings are so hypertensile that their massive aerodynamics could generate hurricane force winds when in flight. Coupled with its body's electroreceptor molecular biology capable of conducting electrical currents, water vapor in the air would be heated at extreme levels, creating its own localized storm system as it travels. Simply put, if Monster Zero were to ever fly again, the stratosphere would be torn open by an otherworldly tempest of thunder and lightning, the likes of which our sky has never seen. And Cryptolinguistics has analyzed translations of every worldwide case study of Monster Zero in the Monarch database across tens of thousands of years. The ancients called it Ghidorah. King Ghidorah, who is also dubbed Monster Zero, is a giant three-headed dragon kaiju that was created by Legendary Pictures that was first alluded to in the final moments of the 2017 film Kong Skull Island. And Ghidorah served as the overall, antagonist for the entire MonsterVerse. Following its rampage across Earth and its presumed demise, Ghidorah's influence would then override Apex Cybernetics' ultimate destroyer, Mechagodzilla, during the events of the 2021 film Godzilla vs. Kong. And this resulted in a catastrophic conflict between it, Godzilla, and Kong. Ultimately, the mechanized terror was destroyed, and hopefully, Ghidorah's influence with it. The names given to Ghidorah's heads during production, Ichi, Ni, and San, the middle, right, and left heads respectively, are the actual Japanese words for 1, 2, and 3. And San is also given the nickname Kevin, and this likely refers to how easily he gets distracted. And this has become a well-known joke amongst the Godzilla fanbase and a source of numerous memes. But like most of his past incarnations, Ghidorah is larger than Godzilla. And Ghidorah's wings are much larger and more bat-like in appearance than most versions. The membrane of each wing is supported by four bat-like fingers extending from Ghidorah's wrists, and there's an additional three that extend from the sides of his torso. And all of these end in blade-like tips that emerge from the wing membrane. Although Ghidorah takes on a bipedal stance when standing still, unlike past versions, he's able to move on his legs and use his wings as forelimbs to support his massive body for crawling, or even running when needed. Now, his voice. King Ghidorah possesses a high-pitched wailing roar that has an underlying scratch in it. According to Michael Dougherty, King Ghidorah's roar in the MonsterVerse is meant to resemble his original high-pitched cackling roar from the earlier series, but louder and far more intense. The unique point of this version's roar is that sometimes Ghidorah's heads are going to roar one by one continuously three times. And so the filmmakers recorded the sounds of snakes, such as pythons and rattlesnakes, to emulate Ghidorah's serpentine traits, and they even put a few lion growls in there. So here is how King Ghidorah's roar has changed over the years. 1964. 1991? Void Ghidorah, also from 1991. Two thousand four. 2018. 2019. Ghidorah is arguably the most malevolent and hostile titan that has been encountered thus far, and unlike the other titans, who only attack humans or cause damage due to being hungry, being provoked, or merely just being indifferent to the humans and structures surrounding them, Ghidorah displays true malice. He willingly tries to kill as many humans as he can, whether they're trying to pose a threat to him or not, and there are glimpses of all three of his heads seemingly smiling when he kills or is about to attack them. He also initially displays a willingness to toy with or curiously investigate humans before killing them. Ghidorah actively seeks to usurp command of Earth's titans away from Godzilla, and upon successfully doing so, he immediately begins spreading various natural disasters of both his own making and the other titans across the planet with enough density and devastating fallout that the likely end result will be the eradication of all multicellular life except for Ghidorah within a few years. Upon becoming aware of Ghidorah's nature, Rick Stanton, one of the characters, compares him to an invasive species and suggests that the purpose of his apocalypse is terraforming or xenoforming the planet into a more ideal place for him to live. And the rest of the characters all run with this assumption, but at one point, Mark Russell alternatively speculates that Ghidorah is perhaps just driven by malice and hatred to destroy every living thing that isn't him. And each of Ghidorah's three heads, though capable of working in sync towards Ghidorah's goals, has a level of independent thought from each other and a distinct personality. The middle head, Ichi, is the most dominant and intelligent-seeming of the three, and it appears to be the leader of the other two. It is also, debatably, the most gleefully sadistic of the heads, and the most determined to go out of its way to be cruel, pulling a lopsided smirk directly before obliterating the G-Team, likewise seemingly grinning when Ghidorah was attacking the Argo. And the middle head is somewhat creative in battle, such as when it bit down on a power station in Boston. The middle head was only known to show fear at the end of Ghidorah's life, being visibly terrified by a burning Godzilla's advance after the latter destroyed the other two. The right head, Ni, is the most irritable and aggressive of the three, often producing grimacing facial expressions which set it apart from the other two. And it appears to be particularly bloodthirsty and eager for battle based on these expressions, such as when it feebly attempted to fend off Godzilla while the other heads were incapacitated by Mothra's webbing. The left head, San, also called Kevin, seems to be the least intelligent and least aggressive of the three, and based on its facial expressions, it appears to be somewhat docile. And the left head is easily distracted, much to the frustration and disappointment of the middle head, who has to forcefully get it back on track. And possibly because of its behavior, the left head appears to be at the bottom of the three heads' pecking order. This head most notably displays more of an inquisitive side than the other two, most prominently when Ghidorah first woke up, because the left head's unique first reaction amongst the heads was to immediately look around when they were emerging from the ice, and it responded to the G-Team shooting at Ghidorah by bending its neck to get a closer look, going so far as to even nuzzling one of the humans with its chin. And it attacked the G-Team in unison with the other two heads only after the middle head forcefully got it back on task. And immediately afterward, it spent time off task licking the team's ashy remains. And the left head also at times seems somewhat clumsy or careless and somewhat timider than the other two when the heads aren't working together, at times casting worried looks towards the other two, such as when facing Godzilla in Antarctica. And the left head, furthermore, openly displayed fear of Godzilla at the time of Emma Russell's death, when Ghidorah sensed Godzilla's approach, unlike the other two heads, who never openly showed such emotion except when Ghidorah was about to die. However, the left head does behave much more confidently when engaging alongside the other two in battle with Godzilla, since it doesn't hesitate to strike. And the left head seems to function as a sentry, mostly rearing back and keeping watch while the other two heads engaged Godzilla. And at other times, scanning in the direction Ghidorah's back is facing. And despite its docile streak, the left head does at times display its savagery, being particularly eager to bite down on Godzilla's neck compared to the other two. And Monarch initially assumed that Ghidorah was part of Earth's natural order, as one of the many titans roaming the Earth, until it was discovered that Ghidorah survived the blast from the oxygen destroyer and regenerated his severed head in seconds. And according to information pieced together from ancient mythological texts, Ghidorah fell from the stars, which means he's an alien. And Monarch subsequently took this as indicating alongside Ghidorah's non-terrestrial biology that he was an extraterrestrial life form who acts like an invasive species to Earth's biosphere. And the exact location Ghidorah came from could forever remain a mystery. Now we will discuss the powers that he has. The first one that he has that we will talk about is his Alpha Call. When King Ghidorah became the Alpha, he let out an extremely loud and powerful call, louder than the eruption of the Krakatoa volcano back in 1883, that could be heard by the other Titans all around the world. Upon hearing this call, the Titans would immediately come to Ghidorah's aid, assisting him in destroying the Earth, except for Kong, who chose to ignore it. And folks, you gotta take this seriously. Unlike Krakatoa, which was heard in other countries, Ghidorah was heard worldwide. So when King Ghidorah emits his Alpha Call, he makes a sound so loud that it shatters the sky and can echo across the entire planet for hours. Now, his bioelectrical nature. Ghidorah had electroreceptor molecular biology, and his skin was covered with traces of gold that acted as a conductor that carried bioelectrical currents throughout his body. And this seemingly enabled him to draw his own storm's lightning to himself as a living conductor. His consciousness transferal. Kevin, or Ghidorah's decapitated left head, though seemingly dead to the point that it was decomposed to just a skull, somehow retained Ghidorah's telepathic capabilities, and with them, some of his will and intent. And he actually had so much that when Mechagodzilla was fully powered up with the Hollow Earth element, Ghidorah caused the mecha to operate by itself without a human pilot, and began killing any human it came across, as well as trying to kill Godzilla. Ghidorah's golden scales made him highly impervious to any form of weaponry. He was also able to withstand a full force charge from both Rodan and Godzilla. And even a radiation-overloaded Godzilla's atomic breath couldn't cause any noticeable damage to Ghidorah, merely just forcing him backward, though it did burn him. And even after the destruction of the entire body, Ghidorah's middle head somehow survived and was completely conscious, possibly due to Ghidorah's alien biology, and was only destroyed by Godzilla firing his atomic breath up through the head's severed neck to atomize it. And energy drain. King Ghidorah could drain energy and electricity directly into himself by biting down on power sources. And by doing this, he gained a catastrophically immense burst of electrical power by biting down on a live power station in Boston. And he was also able to slowly drain and siphon Godzilla's excess radiation by biting down on the latter, and this caused the orange-colored excess energy to visibly flow down Ghidorah's throats. And King Ghidorah's massive and powerful wings allowed him to fly with great speed over long distances, and he only needed to pump them downwards just once just to get off the ground. And his gravity beams. King Ghidorah could shoot yellow gravity beams, concentrated lightning-like beams of electrical energy, from each of his three mouths, and much like how Godzilla's dorsal plates glow whenever he's about to release his atomic breath, King Ghidorah's throats and sometimes his eyes glow before he fired gravity beams. And the beams were extremely powerful, as they could easily obliterate buildings, seemingly cause humans to instantly combust to ashes, singed Godzilla's scales and knocked him over, and incinerated a weakened Mothra within seconds during their battle in Boston, though they did no lasting damage to the former. They were also able to generate a great amount of static electricity that shorted out the circuits of all nearby electronics. Hurricane winds. King Ghidorah had hypertensile muscle tendons in his wings that were capable of generating hurricane force winds when flying. Intelligence. Cranial scans indicate that each of Ghidorah's heads possessed different levels of cognitive function and independent thought. The metal head was the most intelligent, acting as the leader. Meanwhile, the right head displayed a combative spatial awareness when the other two were incapacitated in combat, and the left head was an observant sentry. And now, the trivia. Monarch Outpost 32, the place where Ghidorah was contained, functions as a reference to Outpost 31 of the 1982 film The Thing, and this is backed up by his location that is set in a tundra environment. And additionally, it is a more subtle homage to 1964, the year the original Ghidorah was released. And this is the second version of Ghidorah that can fire lightning from his wings, with the first being his appearance in Rebirth of Mothra 3. And although this incarnation of King Ghidorah possesses the evil of earlier versions, it's conveyed more subtly here. In Godzilla, King of the Monsters, it is speculated that Ghidorah's goal is converting the Earth into a more suitable home for himself as an alien outsider to its existing ecosphere. But whereas most previous versions of Ghidorah depict him as serial planet destroyers who have seemingly little to no reason for committing their homicidal actions, except just for the sake of it. Furthermore, this incarnation only went out of his way to massacre the G-Team and attempt to kill Madison Russell when they provoked him first. And the main clues to this Ghidorah's sadistic nature are that he also equally attacks humans who have done nothing to piss him off and are just trying to get away from him. And his heads tend to smile when doing this, and he tends to utilize overkill when attacking humans, something expressly pointed out in the novelization. And here is the trivia from Michael Dougherty. Although King of the Monsters wasn't a comedy, he likened Ghidorah to Rip Van Winkle, in the sense that he's puzzled by waking up to the modern world's technology, having a very cool personality, with a sense of humor and mischief, as well as curiosity. And he likened Ghidorah's heads to triplets, or brothers, or physically identical dogs, but with different personalities and ways of expressing themselves and with interactions with each other. He describes the middle head as the big brother, Alpha, and most serious of the three, as well as the head who's calling the shots. And he said of the right and left heads, so if you're facing Ghidorah, the right head is just crazy. He will throw down with anybody. He is always ready to go into a fight. And then Kevin, the left head, is a little more curious. I would say maybe a little more slower on the draw. He also commented that Ghidorah loves playing cat and mouse with his prey due to his malice. And he also said additionally, when designing Ghidorah, he wanted to create a quote-unquote unique design that still resembled Ghidorah, and worked very closely with Toho to make sure that his new design respected past versions. He also studied various animals, king cobras to be exact, to add a sense of realism to the design. He also told the design team to maintain an Eastern dragon influence and to avoid any Western dragon ones, stating, quote-unquote, "They are not traditional Western dragons, so those were marching orders from the beginning, that we don't want it to look like the dragons you see in Game of Thrones." He has jokingly suggested that Kevin, the left head, probably wouldn't be antagonistic if it weren't for the other two heads. He's also jokingly suggested that Kevin has been losing his head regularly over Ghidorah's long life as something of a running gag, and it's gotten to a point that the head has gotten particularly skilled at regenerating itself. And had the U.S. military not intervened in Ghidorah and Godzilla's battle underwater by using the oxygen destroyer, Godzilla easily would have won. Amongst the film's four main titans, King Ghidorah was intended to represent the element air, and the tarot card, the devil. And this is according to the three actors who each played Ghidorah's heads. Alex Maxson thinks that the right head wishes that he was the leader and begrudgingly obeys the middle one. Maxson and Jason Lyles both think that Nee, the right head, is more of a wild card and the most unstable of the heads, while Kevin, the left head, obeys the middle head's commands without thinking to question it. And Michael Dougherty also wanted Ghidorah's heads to have different personalities and different actors, including one head that was just full of rage before casting. And I am going to go on the Monarch Sciences website and see if there has been a sighting of Ghidorah. All right, I am on Monarch Sciences right now. I'm going to see if there's any sign of Ghidorah. Oh yeah, here's one. So this was taken in West Australia, and the image analytic says mysterious light observed during intense thunderstorm. Meteorologists say it's not something we've ever seen before. We'll look into possible traces of Monster Zero. So in the picture, this is taken from either from somebody's car or from somebody's front or backyard. There is a thunderstorm going on, but far off in the distance, there's a very, very strange yellow light that does not look like a lightning bolt. Maybe Ghidorah is the one causing that. Oh, and here's another one. This one was taken in Lake District in the United Kingdom, or UK. And this one's analytics says, possible electric storm distortion, golden hue anomaly, light pollution? And in this picture, this was taken from somebody driving down a highway or a road. And in the distance, there is a really strange golden yellow light. And in it, there appears to be what looks like the shadow or silhouette of a wing and one of the three heads. So maybe Ghidorah is the one causing that light. Well, that's going to be it for today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, be sure to like and subscribe to my podcast. Comes out every 2 weeks. This is Tobias Rex saying Godspeed. And King Ghidorah, Monster Zero, is going to sign off for us by emitting his powerful alpha call one last time. Have at it, big fella.